I woke up and I was a little disturbed. And I was disturbed because I really wanted God to show me clearly what to say. But I didn't feel it. You know what I mean? Sometimes you want God to show you something and you feel like you can't see it. And you've prayed and you ask God and you know you want to walk in faith, but you're also waiting to feel something. So that's how I was yesterday. I wasn't feeling it. I didn't know, kind of like I got a plan, but I'm not feeling the plan. I'm kind of, I want to do something, but I'm not really sure exactly how to go about it. So there comes a moment in our lives where we hit these forks in the road. And these forks in the road usually have a couple of different things. Usually a simple fork. And a simple fork would just be left, right, or straight. But sometimes you get these forks in the road and there's things going everywhere. See, if it was just one, two, or three, you could guess one and just go with it. But sometimes there's so many options, you really can't figure out which way to go. So when we hit these forks in the road, there's really only one thing that we can do. And that is to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. And once you say, not my will, but thy will be done, then there's a certain thing you need to do, and that is take your hands off. Now, saying, not my will, but thy will be done, does not mean that we sit in a chair and wait for something to happen. It means that whatever the next step is, you got to take it. If God has not said go left or go right, you go straight. You keep on doing what you've been doing, and you believe that if God has not given me instruction, then that means I'm on the right path. But the thing that gets in our way is that sometimes the right path does not feel good. Sometimes the right path feels wrong. But if God does not say go left or go right, you got to go ahead. There are seasons in everybody's life where you are going to find yourself with no one to give you counsel. That you can look all over and nobody has the right body of knowledge or body of wisdom or opinion to really get you through what you have to go through. Because we all have a unique road in our lives. We all have very, very unique, distinct roles in our life. And no two people have the same road. Because the fact of the matter, I can be walking side by side with someone going the same direction. We say, we're on the same road. We're not, because we didn't start in the same place. Even if people are twins and they come out of the womb somewhat together, they have a different path because one's coming out before the other. No matter who you are, your path is unique. Your path is distinct. Your path is already formed by God. But the problem is we have to make decisions along the road. Number one challenge. I won't say number one. I keep saying number one. This ain't the number one. One of the challenges that Christians face is being in that moment of decision. How to decide. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to make an error. I don't want to let God down. I don't want to let people down. I don't want to make a mistake. I'm trying to walk this walk. I'm trying to have people see what I'm doing. I'm trying to witness to people and minister to people, and I don't want to make a mistake. I have news. You won't. See, everybody thinks you're going to say, I'm going to say, everybody makes mistakes. No, you won't make a mistake. And you know why you won't make a mistake? Because we love the Lord. See, we sometimes think that things that people say are wrong are mistakes. They're not mistakes. Whom God called, He foreknew. God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew you through and through. You know, people you grow up with, they say, I know him. You don't really know him. I know him. Why? Because we grew up together. I was with them at the start. Well, guess what? Nobody knows you better than God, because God was there with you in the start. God knows your strengths. God knows your flaws. God knows your weaknesses. And God says, because I know all about you, I'm sending Jesus into your environment to deal with your faults, to deal with your sin, to deal with those things about you that you aren't satisfied with, nor are other people. But God comes in that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when Jesus comes into the world, he is beginning his ministry, and he has now a group of people that are following him. He takes them up on this mountain and begins teaching them. He begins teaching them the Beatitudes. He begins giving them this information about the kingdom you think is like this, but this is what it's really like. And then he comes all the way through and he gets to this issue of prayer, and he says, now, let me show you how to pray. First of all, don't pray to be seen. He said, there are people out there that pray to be seen. And you know what? If they prayed, they got seen, they have their reward. Then, don't pray like the heathens. Don't pray like people who keep praying repetitive words over and over again, believing that the more I say these words, God's more likely to hear me. He said, don't be like them. Because your Father knows what you need before you even ask. So then he tells them, if you're going to pray, this is how you need to pray. Pray in this manner. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, when he told them, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, the first revelation for them was, God is a father. We talked last week about the adoption, the revelation that God is a father, about the issue of adoption, and the fact that when God chooses to adopt us, that God takes us in and makes us his own. Now, we also looked in the book of Galatians, and we saw that when someone is adopted, the spirit of adoption in us, the son of God, or the son that's in the house with God, looks like a slave while they're still a child. In other words, when we're not yet mature, we still appear to be slaves and not sons and daughters of God. But as we mature in the faith, as we grow in our faith, as we grow and mature in the things of God, that what happens is we start looking less like slaves and we start looking more like sons of God. But the road to becoming a son of God, or appearing or manifesting as a son of God, begins with the revelation that God is your father. And people say it all the time. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be a child of God? Because when you understand that you're a child of God, it will clarify what happens when you get to forks in the road. See, when you know who you are, you know who God has made you to be, you know that God has formed you and shaped you, you know that God has a purpose and a destiny for your life, then when you get into those splintered areas, you get to those things where there's 10 different ways I can go, how do I go? I have a clear instruction. And because I'm a child of God, my clear instruction is God's word. It becomes my instruction. It becomes my guidepost. It becomes my definer. So verse 10 here says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want the will of God in my life as it is in heaven. I want the will of God in my life as it is in heaven. I want God to work the way he works in heaven. How does he work? He works through the first thing, and that is we accept the word as being our truth. But then that truth has to be activated because I was an unbeliever who was handed a Bible. It's the word of God. Take it. And I had that Bible. And I put that Bible down. And I walked away. And every now and then I picked it up and I flipped through it and I put it down and I walked away. And then I thought, maybe I'll read that Bible. And then it wasn't in, I couldn't find it because I don't remember where I laid. I don't remember when I had it last. And then I said, I don't believe the Bible at all. And I went on about my business. But I was handed the word of God. I was handed the truth of God, but it didn't profit me because I didn't receive it as the word of God. I received it as a bunch of words in a book, a bunch of stories told long ago about some people who aren't relevant now. That's what I took the Bible as. And because that's what I believed about the Bible, when I looked in it, that's all I saw. But there's a season when faith comes. And when faith comes, faith activates what is in this word. So it is no longer just words, but it becomes revelation to you. How many of you have driven down the street near your house? Driven the same way every day, every day, every day, and then one day you look up and you see something different. You ever had that experience? Now, most of the time, that different thing didn't change when you saw it. Most of the time, it's been there a long time. Man, they painted their house. Man, they painted that house like 3 years ago. I never noticed that. You know why? Because your focus was somewhere else. And when your focus is somewhere else, you don't see what's laying in plain sight. So God has spoken this word and given us truth that is laid in plain sight. However, many times we don't see it because we're occupied with other things. Spiritual warfare in its purest form is deception that gets you not to look at what is really true. Adam and Eve in the garden, and they have been given all things. Everything is yours. Gold on the ground, rivers flowing through, trees everywhere. It's everything you want is here. Got one rule, don't touch that one tree. So where's the attention go? To the one tree I can't touch. 1,000 other options. I'm focused on the one tree I can't touch. Why am I focused there? Because that focus blinds you from everything else. So right now, we have a lot of things going on in our world that are designed to get us to not focus on the one thing that matters. And that is how we relate to God. See, the adversary would love to get the church involved in politics, with lunatics, with anything else. Ticks, ticks, yeah. Forest ticks, whatever. To get your focus off of the truth. Sometimes, as I said, sometimes when you're doing the will of God, it doesn't feel comfortable because there's a purpose. How many of y'all made a New Year's resolution you was going to get in shape at least once in your life? At least once in your life. Don't y'all just say when it was. Just... So you make that New Year's resolution, you get a gym membership, and you go to the gym, right? You know I'm gonna get in shape, so I'm going to the gym. You go to the gym, you work out hard that first time. Oh man, oh praise God, I'm doing it. That first day, you're going at it, right? Oh man, yeah, oh yeah, I got it going. I got it, man, I got it, I'm doing it. I'm feeling good. What happens the next day? It hurts. Then the decision comes. Now that it hurts, are you still going to do the right thing? See, the need to get in shape didn't change. But the pain has now come to distract you from whether or not you're going to push through. Whether you're going to fulfill what you set out to fulfill. Distraction. The enemy sends distractions into our lives. When we look at this word, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Once you pray that prayer, I guarantee you there is something coming to distract you from the will of God being done in your life. Something is coming to distract you. Something is coming to push you off of what you said I want. Lord, I want your will. Lord, I want to have what you want me to have. I want the blessing of the Lord in my life. I want God to do great and mighty things. I want the Lord to reach my family. I want the Lord to reach my neighborhood. I want the world to reach my city. I'm tired of seeing death. I'm tired of seeing crime. I'm tired of seeing these things in my life. Lord, I want something different. Come your kingdom, be done your will on the earth. When you pray that prayer, something's coming to distract you. We watched this goofy movie once. I've seen it more than once. I'm telling it, tell you the truth. And this movie, this black power leader, the guy's coming, he's coming to look for help. And so he says, man, I remember this guy who led the struggle back in the day. Let's go see him. And he walks into his office and the guy is standing there still dressed like he was back in the days. And they say, man, we need the army. Where are they at? He said, well, the Brotherhood disbanded. He said, what happened? He said, man, we went to picket at the government. But that day, they were hiring. And all the brothers dropped the struggle and got jobs. Distracted. What do we go there for? You can say you're in for the, I'm here to change the world. I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to do something different. Something's coming to distract you for sure. It's absolutely sure something is going to come to try to distract you from what you said and prayed. When we pray, Lord, let your will be done, we want to get ourselves in position that we're ready to hear from God what his will is and then proceed with his will. Now, let me tell you what God's will is not. God's will is not that every person in the church be so consumed that we have no life outside the walls of the church. You know why? How are we going to reach the world if we're absorbed inside the building? The will of God does not mean that you have to be in the building, the house of the Lord, every single moment. Now, there may be some people who have a special calling. That's fine. But for the most of us, the calling is not only inside the building. The will of God for my life is not only inside this building. God has a will for me wherever I go. God has a will for me when I step foot into my business or the place where I work. God has a will for me when I sit down at my desk. There's a will of God right in the moment, right there. There's a will of God when I step out and do something. There's a will of God when I'm actually sitting down and laughing with my friends. There's a will of God being executed. There's something going on. Now, I said a little while ago, you can't make a mistake. What do I mean by that? I mean, if you're praying the will of the Lord, then you have to recognize that sometimes the will of the Lord means God is going to take you when you're living so well and have the Babylonians raid your city and take you as a slave to Babylon. Lord, did we make a mistake? No, it's just God's will playing out. The will of God might mean that he takes someone who we all don't like and puts them in a position of authority to make decisions for his glory. That it doesn't look like his glory when it's happening, but it's to his glory because God's not bound by 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. God's will is eternal. And so sometimes it looks like decisions have been made. Sometimes it looks like people have been put in place that don't benefit us, but you know what? Whatever is unfolding, it is unfolding under the hand of God. Even Satan himself was surprised when Jesus came. The story of Jesus. Mary, the Virgin Mary, finds out that she's pregnant. Joseph connects with her and says, look, we got to get out of town. Where are we going to go? In the night, an angel comes to him and tells him, go out and go towards Bethlehem. So they get there for the census. Jesus is born. Instead of going back where they came from, the angel shows up again and says, don't go home. Go to Egypt. Egypt? What does that mean? Egypt? We're from northern Israel, and you're sending us, we're already south. You're sending us not the direction we came from. You're sending us down further to Egypt? Fine, we'll go. Joseph, are you sure? You're going where, Joseph? We're moving to Egypt. What do you think his family said? Egypt? You do know you're Jewish, right? You're moving to Egypt. You know we came out of Egypt as slaves. You're going back to Egypt. Yeah, that's where we're going. An angel told me to go. Yeah, okay, you go ahead and go. Unbeknownst to Joseph, Satan's trying to stop Jesus. But he doesn't know where he is, so he's just got a general idea. So what does he do? He goes and slaughters all the children in Bethlehem, trying to get Jesus. So what appears to be foolishness in moving to Egypt is the wisdom of God moving somebody somewhere. So sometimes we do things and we don't, man, I don't really know why I'm doing this. Now I'm not talking about just jumping into sin. I don't know. I'm just sinning. It's God's will is going to be done out of this. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having decisions and not knowing what to do and then knowing, I just know. I just believe this is what I got to do. I don't have any reason. I don't have any clarity. I don't know why. I'm just moving with God. Now, how do you maneuver into the will of God? I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Okay, it won't do me no good. All right, here we go. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 24. Actually, we'll start at 18. Let's start at 18. That's good. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Very first thing here is that we are children of God. And because we're children of God, there is a certain amount of suffering that comes into this life. Like I said, you make that New Year's resolution, you work out one time, next thing you know, you're into suffering. You're into pain. You're into the challenge. You're into that pain of doing the right thing. But what he says here is, he said, I want you to understand that the suffering that you're going through is not worthy of the glory that's being prepared for you. In other words, if you can push through the suffering, the moment of suffering, if you can push through that, there's a glory on the other side awaiting you. And that glory is going to reveal that you indeed are a child of God. See, there's some things people will never know how blessed you are until you go through something and come out on the other side and people say, oh, wow, your prayers worked. Of course they worked, but you know what? You had to see it work. See, it's one thing to say I'm a child of God. It's another thing for people to see that I'm a child of God. It's another thing for people to see me pass through a suffering or pass through a wound, pass through a challenge, and come out and see the blessing on my life. Because you can't argue with that blessing. You can explain it, try to explain it away, but you can't argue with it. So you can't argue with me as to whether God can heal you of certain things. Because I've tasted of healing. And because I've tasted of healing, you can't talk me out of that taste. You can't talk me out of the fact that that's what God is able to do. Why? Because I've experienced it myself. And so because I've experienced it, it's even more real. Now, here's reality. All of creation is groaning and travailing, awaiting the manifestation of the sons. And we talked last week about the adoption, about the fact that God brings us into his house, but the world is waiting for us to mature in the things of God and reveal who we are. And so because the world has not seen the church in its full glory modeled, it makes decisions on its own. Moses was undoubtedly a prophet to all the people. They were willing to follow Moses out of bondage. So when they got out and God called Moses to go on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, he was gone. I'll be gone a few days. After 40 days, they all start getting anxious because they didn't see Moses. And because they didn't see the leadership that was related to God, they decided they were going to make their own God. And they made their own God. And God had to punish them as a result. Now, here's what's important to understand. Right now, the church is all up in arms about the Supreme Court's proceedings, right? Why did the people make their own God? See, the people have made their own God now. They've made their own golden calf. Right here in the United States, we have made our own golden calf. And you know why? Because they can't find the church. They found religion. They haven't found the church. They haven't found the church in full bloom. They haven't found the church fully in its glory. They haven't found the manifested sons of God. And because they haven't manifested or seen or touched it or felt it, because they haven't had an experience with it, they created their own gods. That's what I did. When I was an unbeliever and I was in a church and I had all kinds of Bible studies and I went to Sunday school and I determined God's not real. I don't see anything. I decided God didn't exist. Grew up with religion all around me. But some kind of way I decided God doesn't exist. Why? Because I didn't see it. I didn't experience it. I didn't have contact with it. And because I didn't have contact with it, I denounced it. But we're in a season where God is telling us, stop praying for what you want. Start praying for the will of God to be done. Start praying, come the Lord's kingdom. Stop praying for your church to grow. Start praying for the kingdom of God to be manifested. Stop praying for what you want. Start praying for the kingdom of God to be seen. Stop praying about your things and all the stuff you want. Start praying for God's kingdom be manifested. Because if kingdom is manifested, you know what's going to happen? Your needs are going to get met. If you're praying for God's will to be done and God to show up and God to do things, God is a God of abundance. He will flow. He will do things exceedingly and abundantly above what we can ask or think about. But it doesn't come from us getting our way. It comes from the will of God being done. Come the kingdom of God. Let the kingdom come. Let your will be done. If God's will is done, my will be fine. Now, when I was a child, I was what they call a strong-willed child, right? So they say, you're getting a shot. I said, no, I'm not. And they would have to wrestle me. They'd have to wrestle me into the room. They'd have to hold me down. You got to relax. Get in to relax. I would fight. You're going to eat these eggs. I'm not eating an egg. I will not eat an egg. 4 years old, I'm not eating an egg. You know where eggs come from? I'm not eating an egg. Can make me do nothing. My will. Now, the egg is food, it's good for me. I needed to eat the egg. The shot was something I needed to get. I'm fighting against the will. My will. I don't want that pain. Don't stick me with that. My will, I'm not eating that. Give me candy instead. I'm trying to get my will, my way, with a bunch of things that those that are over me see are not going to benefit me. But I'm fighting for my will. I have the right not to eat. See, people can fight for whatever they want to fight for, but ultimately there's one who knows. Ultimately there's one who sees. God is called Jehovah Jireh because he looks ahead and makes provisions. But we're fighting to get provision when God's already looked ahead and made provision. See, God has already done things and prepared things, but we can't access them until we're willing and ready to yield to the will of God. I made up my mind what I was going to be when I grew up. This is what I'm going to be. I made up my mind. And when I went to college, I said, well, I'm dropping out. I'm joining the Marine Corps. So I went to the Marine Corps. You doing another term? No, I'm out. I'm doing this. I'm going to be a banker. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that either. I'm making up my new plan, my new will all the time. And I used to look back and think I made mistakes all the way. But then I realized I didn't make a mistake. None of it was mistakes. None of it was mistakes. It was all preparation. It was all preparation. I went to college and left college. Why? I got something when I went and I left. I went to the Marine Corps and I came out. Why? I got something when I went to the Marine Corps. God added something to me. He added some discipline that I didn't grow up with. When I left there and I went to work for the bank, I had some experiences. In that place, when I gave my life to the Lord, God showed me how to worship with my work. When I worked in a mailroom, He showed me how to worship in the mail room, in the receiving department. I learned how to worship. Not at the school of the prophets, at the mail room at Union Bank. I learned how to worship. And then I said, okay, we're getting ready to have a child. I'm not making enough money. I'm taking another job. And I took the job. I was there 6 months. I said, this is a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. But all along, what's happening is the will of God is being played out in my life. The will of God is being played out in my life. Oh, Lord, if I had just gone to college, went 4 years and came out, I would be right here. He said, no, you wouldn't. Because you would have met something else on that road. Doesn't make a difference what way you go. We're too caught on being exact. I want to be exact. And when we are thinking we're exact, you are discounting the fact that there is someone above you who sees the road ahead of you and is telling you go right or go left. But you said, no, it makes more sense to go straight. Not right now, it doesn't. The will of God can be manifested only when we have yielded hearts and we accept where we are and we take that place that we are and we allow God to author something different in it. What is more important than where we go is what we do while we're there. If we figure out the fact that God can make a river flow in the desert. The children of Israel, a million of them, are in a desert. No food, no water, and they're complaining to Moses. What are we going to do? God said, Moses, take your staff and hit this rock. The people were complaining, we should have never left where we were. We could go back into slavery because at least when we were slaves, they were feeding us. Why don't we go back? Don't go back. God's going to make something happen right where you're standing. Right where you are. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 22, yeah. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. We're eagerly awaiting the manifestation of our adoption. We know who we are, but we're waiting to see it happen. When does it happen? It happens when we get clear on the fact that God doesn't need to take me there to make it happen. God doesn't need to take me out of my current environment to bless me. God doesn't have to move me to Switzerland in order to get me something that looks like it only is there. God can make things happen where you are. Creation is groaning, it's travailing, it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, but the sons of God are jumping from here to there, trying to get somewhere to get blessed, when you can be blessed where you are because God is not out there. Jesus said it's going to come a time people are going to say, he's over there, but don't listen to them. Why? Because the Spirit is here. We are the first fruits of the Spirit where we are. We have God with us right now. All right. Let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. We're talking about praying the will of God. Praying the will of God. Matthew 16. Now, in Matthew 16, I'm going to tell you what happens, and we're going to skip over to verse. Let's go. You can turn to verse 17. I'll tell you what happened before that. Jesus tells his disciples, he said, who do you guys think I am? He starts them with a question. They say, oh, well, you know, some people say you're this, some people say that. He said, get personal. You tell me who you guys think I am. And Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And this is what it picks up. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my," who?
Father.
Who's where? My Father who's in heaven. Peter, you just got a revelation, and you didn't have to go to become a rabbi to get it. You didn't have to go anywhere. You're standing right here with me, and because you're here, you're blessed because flesh and blood didn't give it to you. Your location or your who you grew up with, and those things didn't give it to you. Your Father in heaven has given you a revelation, and with this revelation, let me tell you what it's going to do. Verse 18, I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You are Peter. Your name is Peter. And on this rock I'm going to build my church. What's the rock? He's talking about the revelation. You're blessed because you got this revelation. You're blessed because you got revelation. And on this rock, not somewhere else, on this rock, on you, you, Peter, on you, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against what I'm building. Jesus did not come to build a temple with his hands. He came to build a temple in the hearts of people. He came to build a temple, bring revelation by the Father, and deposit it in our hearts. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Who's the church? We're the church. See, it's time for the church to not be agitated over what happens outside the church. Don't be agitated of what happens outside of here. See, there are going to be a lot of frustrated Christians over the next few weeks, who are going to feel like the world is collapsing, like everything's going wrong and the government's against us. Yeah, the government's been against you. The government never was for you. You need to understand that the government is not our source. It's not the end of our truth. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Keep your finger right there, and I'm going to read you again what the book of Matthew says in verse chapter 6. Keep your finger there. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Matthew 6, verse 9. Verse 9 says, pray in this manner, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we just read Matthew. He said, by revelation, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So, if praying means we need to pray the will of God and say, Father, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And a couple of chapters later, he said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What does that mean? It means your prayers have the power to change both earth and heaven. It means when you start praying the will of God, you can bring whatever the will of God is in heaven, you can bring it to earth. Because you've been given keys. What's the key? Revelation and prayer that follows that revelation. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, if we believe this word, then we know what we need to do. It's time to bind and to loose. It's time to be in prayer to take things down and to tear things up. It's time to, right now in prayer, be aggressive about doing the will of God, praying the will of God, declaring the will of God, so we see change happen. But you can't pray as a servant. You have to pray as a son. You have to pray as a son. as one who knows they've been adopted by God, as one who knows that God is with them and not against them, as one who's praying in faith and not in doubt, as one who knows their Father well enough to say, I know what your will is. And then once we prayed and we said, let your will be done, is to know that if his will is being done, guess what's going to happen? Go, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm close with this. Hebrews chapter 12. When you pray the will of God, praise the Lord. Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. When you get there, tell your neighbor, I'm ready for the will of God. All right, here we go. Hebrews 12 and 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and that sin which so easily ensnares us. There's those distractions. And let us run with endurance the race that's been set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Consider Jesus. For the joy that was set before him, he went through the pain of the cross. See, when you start praying the will of God, when things don't go perfectly like you would imagine, perfectly like you want, you got to keep the joy of God before you. You got to keep the joy of the Lord before you. You have to keep the joy out there. You got to keep your focus on what God is intending for your life. You got to keep the focus on what God's trying to bring to pass in your life. And when you keep the focus on that, then you're going to go through the suffering, through the challenge, through the trial, not saying, why me, but saying, Lord, I know. Lord, I know. Lord, I know I'm going through this. Lord, I'm coming out on the other side. Lord, I know. I know the expected end. I know that you are doing for my good will. I know, Lord, you have the best in store for me. You know the plans you have for me, plans for good and not for evil, to give me a future and a hope. I thank you right now. And Lord, I'm not minimizing my hope to me having a good time. I'm minimizing my hope on you having an impact with my life. That you can change things with my life. You can do something with my life. And you know, when people get to the end of their lives, never heard anybody say, I wish I wouldn't have made such a great impact. I wish I wouldn't have had such a good influence. Never heard anybody say that. All kinds of regrets you can have, but making an impact is not one of them. Making something happen is not one of them. Doing things, enduring things, and going through. Everybody we celebrate, really celebrate in this world, are people who had to go through something to make something happen. People that go through things for a better outcome. So when you come out of whatever you're in, when you come through whatever you got to go through, what I want you to be able to do is say, thank the Lord. And matter of fact, now I got to tell my story. Now I got to tell my story. I got to tell what I've been through. I got to tell how I came through this. I got to tell because why? I prayed the will of God and God has shown himself strong. And now I need to tell everybody why. I need to show everybody what God has done. I need to display. I need to be openly displayed, not so I can get glory, so that God can get glory from my life. Now, how do you do that? Last thing I'm going to share with you. I mean, I'm going to turn to a scripture. He's the author and finisher of our faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the unseen. That's how we do it. We do things by faith, not by sight, not looking at things, but seeing what God has said, embracing God's word. I don't want to have you turn there. Tony, let's go to let's go to John 15, 15 and 7. It's already in there. John 15 and 7. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to leave you with this. If you really want the will of God to manifest in your life, the fastest way to make it happen is to get the word in your spirit. Look at this, John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done. If we abide in Christ and his word abides in us, then we will ask what we will and it will be done. See, it's our season to grow in faith concerning what God's will is for us. When we are operating below the level of maturity where God wants us to be, then we still look at the circumstances around us like maybe God will and maybe God won't. And we take the back seat to whatever things come on us and we don't push through them. But God is saying to us today, it's time to raise our level of faith. It's time to raise our level of understanding. It's time to raise our level of acceptance of God's word. Because to accept the word starts to transform and change who we are. I'm going to pray. And as we pray, what I want you to do right now is I want you to consider a challenge you have in front of you. And I'm going to pray for you for this challenge. Now, when I pray for you, I need you to do something for me. I want you to consider the challenge. But then I want you to consider what's on the other side. I want you to consider what's on the other side of the challenge. See, we just read in Hebrews, it said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the shame of the cross. So you might now just be seeing the cross. But I'm going to pray for you and I want you to look past the cross. I want you to look to the other side. Because on the other side of the cross is what God wants for you. The distraction is to avoid the will of God, to try not to go through what God's trying to get us through because we know that there's pain involved in the cross. But I want you to look past the cross. See, God may have planted in your heart a desire to start a business. But when you start, you get the pain of sales. You get the pain of the organization, of pulling all the things together, and so you back away from it. But I need you to look past the pain. Somebody in here might now, God may be moving you to be in a specific relationship. But there's pain involved in getting to normalize it. I need you to look past the pain for the joy that was set before you. Somebody's got some physical things that are coming against you. And the things that if I do X, Y, Z, I can put this to rest. But the pain of it is getting to you. I need you to look past it. I need you to look past it. Sometimes you're facing things and you don't even know what it is on the other side. But what I need you to do is then look unto Jesus. See, if there's nothing, if you don't know what's on the other side, you look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. And when you look unto him, you're saying, Lord, I trust your will. I trust your will. Put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder. We're going to pray. Say something. Yeah. How good is God? How good is God? How good is the Lord? Hallelujah. Here we go. Heavenly Father, we see Jesus. We've worshiped you and said, Jesus, we love you. And Lord, your word has told us this morning that we can pray the will of God, that we can declare the will of God, and that when we pray the will of God, there may be challenges with the will. But we thank you that your word also says, I know the plans that I have for you. I have plans for good and not for evil. Lord, we thank you that Jesus told his disciples, don't be afraid because I prepared a place for you, that where I am, that you may be also. Don't be afraid of what's going on around you because I have something for you. We thank you that Jesus said, your Father knows the things you need before you ask. So don't be afraid to say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. So Lord, we thank you that your will be done in my life. We thank you right now for your will being done in the lives of everyone who's sitting here today. We thank you that you're going to open doors. Hallelujah. And we will not be afraid of open doors. Hallelujah. We thank you, you will set us before things that look like they can't be moved. But we thank you that you will fill our mouths with words to speak to mountains and say, be thou removed and cast in the sea. Because it's the will of God for my life. Hallelujah. It's the will of God for my life. Thank you that there's no obstacle laid against anybody in this room that you will not move. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, that if you choose not to move it, you will strengthen us to walk through it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. Hallelujah. And when I come out on the other side, you're going to prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to God. I thank you right now. We thank you for supernatural overcoming power for every person in this room to fight sickness, to fight disease, to fight poverty, to fight lack, to fight everything that will come against them, to fight evil spirits, every demonic thing, any principality and power that comes against anybody in this place. I thank you for the power and the authority to go through victoriously, to come out on the other side, full of faith, ready to tell the testimony. So Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise. We will fear no evil whatsoever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to stand on your feet for just a minute.